In a good way.
Okay. All right. So good afternoon, everybody. Thanks to everybody for making the time. So the beginning of Vayakhel presents a kind of a challenge for us. First of all, the language which is used at the beginning of the parasha is very signature language. Vayakhel Moshe et kol adat bnei Yisrael. So the terms kehila and eda in the Chumash are always of great significance. For example, they're used in the context of Korban Pesach. It's used in the context of Kedoshim Tiyu, which is a kind of a repetition of the Aseret Hadibrot, as we know. It's obviously used in the context of the Aseret Hadibrot and the recreation of the Aseret Hadibros at Parshas Hakel itself. And so anytime we have that language, Vayakhel Moshe is called Adas Bnei Yisrael, so that's like a very signature kind of a language. And so that should be noted. Number one. Number two, it's interesting, if you look at the second and third psukim of the parasha, the Torah repeats the Isser Malacha on Shabbos, Lo Sivar, Kol Osevo Malacha Yumas, and then singles out the Isser of Havara, of not having a fire, Lo Sivaru Esh. So everybody wanted to know, like, why exactly would you repeat that? So the truth of the matter is on this basis, Rabbi Yossi says, well, it must be that Havara isn't really a malacha. It's only a lav. It's prohibited by the Torah on Shabbos, but it doesn't rise to the full level of a malacha, something for which you have the most, you know, grave penalty. And the Sfarno gives a kind of an explanation for this. He doesn't address the question directly, but his rationale can be very much be used to explain, like, why Rabbi Yossi would say that Havara is not a full malacha, it's only a lav. He says, because for the most part, fire is destructive. And the standard on Shabbos for a malacha is malachas machsheves, as opposed to something which al harov is a kilkul. That explains Rabbi Yossi's position. Rabbi Nassan's position interests me greatly. Rabbi Nassan says, no, Havara is a malacha, so why was it singled out? To tell me that, you know, you might have thought that if a person, let's say between the hours of 2 and 3 on Shabbos, did many different malachos, what we call behele mechad, without realizing that he had been violating Shabbos. So we sort of, you know, conceptualize that as just one violation of Shabbos, and you'd only be chayav one korban. So this is what we call havara l'chalik yatzas, which is the position that the Rambam adopts, to tell you that just as havara is one malacha, and you're chayav for havara, so you'd be chayav, let's say a person did during that time, Zoreya and Choresh and Kotzer and Ma'amer and Dash and Zora and Borer and Merakid and Tochein and Lash, Shipset and Ofed. You go down the list of the 39, you'd be Chayav a Korban for each and every one of them. And the question then becomes, okay, fine, but like, why would you choose Havara? All you had to do was choose any of the 39 Malachos. You could have chosen plowing, or seeding, or gathering, or cutting, or threshing, or winnowing, or selecting, or grinding, or sifting, or baking, you know. So, you know, like, why do you choose fire? So the truth is that the Ramban, you know, as probably only he could have, certainly only he did, points out that the question isn't that good of a question, because normally when it comes to Shabbos, the Torah says lo sasa kol melacha, but here it doesn't say lo sasa kol melacha. It says kol haosev vo melacha. So that left the door open to other kinds of melachos, which you could have theoretically done on Shabbos. Yeah, it's true. He says you wouldn't have actually thought that you could cook on Shabbos because we've already separated out yantif in that way. Because the Torah in Parshas Beshalach, in the context of the man, says, oh, if you're wondering why you got the double portion of man on Friday, it's because you're supposed to do all of your preparation before Shabbos. Es asher tofu eifu, v'es asher tevashlu bashelu. But you still might have thought that for purposes of oneg Shabbos, of enjoying Shabbos, that you could light fires to create light, that you could light fires for the purposes of heating up water, you know, so that was a viable thought. So the Torah had to tell you, lo sevaru esh. But the Ramban's, you know, outstanding observation, notwithstanding, I want to pursue Rabbi Nassan's point of view. Like, why would it be that Havara, you know, would be selected as kind of like the paradigmatic malacha? So again, just to review the two questions. Number one, why do we have these formulations of kihila and eda, specifically when it comes to Shabbos? Number two, what's the unique station of Havara? Why is it singled out amongst all of the other malachos? Question three. You know, all of this is really meant to tell us something important, which is that as important a mitzvah it is to build the Mishkan, building the Mishkan does not supersede Shabbos. In fact, the very prohibitions of Shabbos are derived from all those things that were involved in the creation of the Mishkan. Now, there's some different views of that topic. Maybe some Rishonim are of the view that the only thing that can be considered an Av Melacha is something that was actually done in the Mishkan, and something which is a Tolda, which is still prohibited by the Torah, are those things that weren't done exactly in that way in the Mishkan. But, you know, be that as it may, however one understands the issue, you know, Shabbos supersedes the construction of the Mishkan. So, question 3a is, like, well, what does that mean exactly? How do we prioritize? And question 3b is, well, like, if that's already true, so then Shabbos should precede and supersede the operations of the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash, and that's plainly not true. There are all kinds of korbanos and fires and other kinds of things that go on in the Beis HaMikdash, which involve Torah-level violations. Yet, not only may they take place on Shabbos, they must take place on Shabbos. The most obvious example being the special korban musaf of Shabbos. You have to sacrifice two animals. That's a Torah-level violation. Or the fact that you're constantly burning a fire on Shabbos. Eish tamid tzukar al-mizbeach lo tichben. Like a very, you know, obvious thing. So if it's really true that Shabbos supersedes the building of the Mishkan, and that's supposed to tell us something, like, really important, then why wouldn't Shabbos supersede the operations of the Mishkan / the Beis HaMikdash? So these seem like disparate questions, but hopefully we'll see that they're really not. Again, Vayakel and Eda, why is the Torah emphasizing Lebriut this language? Number two is, why would Havara Lechalik Yatzah? So if you had to pick one Malacha to tell you that each and every Malacha has its own integrity, and that if you violate 22 Malachos without realizing it, you know, Behele Mecha, that you're Chayav a Korban for each one of them, what's the unique property of Havara? And then question number three is, what exactly is the relationship between Shabbos, you know, and the Mishkan? It's not so clear. You know, on the one hand, we think, oh, it's like, you know, building the Mishkan does not supersede Shabbos, but to whatever extent, you know, that's true, and it is true, then why wouldn't the operations of the Mishkan, also take a backseat to Shabbos? Okay. So, many years ago, my father pointed out to me a Gemara in Psachim and Daphne and Dalet, which struck me as highly significant. The Gemara there suggests that the first act of human creativity was the creation of fire. And it happened on Motzei Shabbos. And this is, by the way, you know, ensconced within our halachic framework. That's why we make the Me'orei Ha'esh as part of our Havdalah when we have Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos as opposed to Motzei Yantif, which we don't ever have a Me'orei Ha'esh. And even when Shabbos goes into Yantif, you know, we do that Yak Nahaz procedure, the Nun Yak Nahaz, we'll have it on Pesach, right, being the Ner, it's very, very important to remember that moment. So it would appear that making fire is the paradigmatic act of human creativity. It's actually the first act, according to the Gemara, of human creativity. The Gemara uses very beautiful language. It says, like, a divine inspiration came into Adam HaRishon, and he created this fire. Interesting. So that might explain Rabbi Nassan's position of why Havara Lechalik Yatzas, why you choose Havara as the paradigmatic act of human creativity, the way that human beings are able to somehow take the world that God created for us and, you know, cultivate it and further it. Okay, so let's keep that in mind as we go forward. We noted that the Torah is very careful in its usage of the term kihila when it comes to Shabbos. Vayakel Moshe is called Das Bnei Yisrael Vayomer Lehem Eile HaDvarim Asher Tziva Hashem Lasoso Sam Sheshes Yamim Tiyaseh Melacha, etc. So when we think about Shabbos, I have a particular view of this topic. I want to try to instantiate it in three different ways. The Shabbos is really the ultimate day of suppressing individual creativity and melding and don't worry about it, please. Melding ourselves into a community. We try very hard 6 days of the week to distinguish ourselves, to bring our unique talents to bear in terms of furthering God's creation. But on Shabbos, the overwhelming emphasis is on testifying as part of the community, not to our own individual strengths, but to God's creative capacity, reflecting that whatever creativity, creative ability we have, it pales in comparison to God's creative ability, but even more to the point that whatever creative ability we have is meant to further the creative processes that God set into motion. So this idea of not distinguishing oneself from the community, in fact, to a certain extent suppressing individuality on Shabbos, I think can be felt in three different ways, three different halachic sources. First of all, the very first time the Torah introduces Shabbos, it talks about something called Tchum Shabbos. Tchum Shabbos, according to Rashi, is only rabbinic. According to the Rambam, it's a Torah-level violation. Everybody seems to agree that it's not a malacha, doesn't rise to the level of something when you're creatively enhancing an object, but it just means to leave the boundaries of the community on Shabbos. And isn't that really interesting? And the very first thing that the Torah would tell you about Shabbos is Shavu Yishtachtav Al Yitzei Ishimim Komo Bayom HaShvi, that Shabbos is not a day, geographically speaking, to leave the boundaries of the community. Now, the parallel idea, but in the exact opposite direction, is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. We're learning the Gemara in Sanhedrin this year, states in Daf Chesam and Beis that Nachri Sheshavas Chayev Misa, that generally speaking, a non-Jew is allowed to practice a mitzvah just to enhance their spiritual standing. And when it comes to the mitzvah of Shabbos, it is a fraternity. In theory, the Rambam says we wouldn't actually implement it, but in theory, a non-Jew who observes the Shabbos would be liable for the death penalty. So once again, it's a very hemphy emphasis on the fraternity. You're not supposed to leave the community, and you're not supposed to break in from the outside.
Which is why when somebody's in the process of converting, they dafka use them as a Shabbos go. You know, once a Shabbos, just have them do something.
Exactly. You know, or they could just say, that, as the joke goes, that they don't hold by the Eruv. You know?
Right.
It's good practice. So that's area number one. Area number two, in terms of stressing the communal aspect of Shabbos, is the Gemara in Masechta Chulin Daf Hei says that basically a Jewish person who sins is a Jewish person who sins. But if a person sins in Avodah Zarah, so that sort of kind of compromises their entire spiritual persona, because it's hard to say that, you know, the lulav that I took and the sukkah that I sat in and the shofar that I heard or the Megillah that I read was meaningful if I don't really believe in God. If I don't really accept the mitzvah, it's hard to say that any mitzvah is significant. But be that as it may, okay, so Avodah Zarah we understand. The Gemara says something kind of strange. The Gemara then says, and also Mechalel Shabbos b'farhesi. So I understand, if Mechalel Shabbos is really so bad, so what does it make a difference if it's publicly or privately? But apparently the idea, and publicly doesn't mean just publicly, like there are people around, but the Gemara in Erevin explains that it means as a way of kind of attacking the community's observance of Shabbos. So once again, when it comes to Shabbos, apparently there's a qualitative distinction between a private desecration of Shabbos and a public desecration of Shabbos. Once again, highlighting the fact, Vayakel Moshe, that Shabbos is the ultimate day of the Kehillah. And third, just to hammer the idea home, the Gemara Menachos on Daf Lamed Vav says that you're not supposed to wear tefillin on Shabbos, or Yantif for that matter. It's a little difficult to understand because tefillin is considered one of the more important mitzvot asei in the Torah. The Rambam says it's not really one, it's two, and because it appears four times in the Torah, it's actually kind of like eight. And tefillin is very important. The Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah says it's like a very serious thing if a person doesn't wear tefillin. Okay. So like, why would we surrender tefillin 1/7 of the time? It's not obvious. Not all Tanaim agree that that should be the case, but okay. That's obviously the normative thing. So, you know, like, why would you do that? So the Gemara Menachos has a suggestion. It says, well, Shabbos is an os, you know, because the Torah says, B'ni v'nei b'nei Yisrael osi li'olam, and tefillin is an os. K'sharatam li'os ha'yadecha. So you can't have, like, these competing otot. Like, so what does that mean? I don't know. I mean, Bris Milah is also called an os. You know, there's no halacha that somehow, you know, I don't know how what this would look like in practice, but you don't have to somehow neutralize your bris milah on Shabbos. So, evidently, what the Gemara had in mind was that tefillin is a personal os. We're supposed to actually cover up the tefillin shaliyad, which is described as an os. Ukshartam le'os ayadecha. Shabbos is a communal os. So apparently there was kind of a paradox between the personal os of tefillin and the public sign of Shabbos. So again, you just see it all over. It just creeps up all over. The Shabbos would appear to be, right, a day of de-emphasizing the individual connection with God and privileging the communal relationship with God. So if that's true, then we can really well understand the following dichotomy. So, you know, the individual is, again, not supposed to differentiate himself or herself the way that each individual did in the construction of the Mishkan. We just read the five parshios that we're concluding this week. The overwhelming emphasis is on the individualistic language. Kol isha chachama asher biyadeha tavu, that they were great weavers. V'chol isha chachma slev. Kol isha asher nisa'o libo. From the very beginning of Parshas Truma, where the Mishkan is first introduced, it says, Me'es kol ish asher yidvenu libo tikhuas trumasi. It's a highly individualistic enterprise. So the idea is, yeah, Shabbos, which is a collective day, forces the suppression of the individualistic exercise of building the Mishkan, where each person got to demonstrate their own creative talents, Bezalel, of course, chief amongst them, with his own very special creative abilities, for the sake of a communal sense of awareness of God's presence. But that in its own right is what allows for Shabbos to be superseded once the Mishkan is running, or once the Mikdash is running. Because when do we ever violate Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash? Not for the sake of an individual, but only for korbanos of the tzibur. Like if I walk into the Mishkan on Shabbos and say, I want to volunteer a korban, or I want to bring my korban chatas that I'm somehow obligated to bring, I don't get to bring that on Shabbos. The only korbanos that can be offered in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos are korbanos of the community. So it's not really that Shabbos supersedes the Mishkan, it's that the community trumps the individual on Shabbos. So as long as it's communal in nature, there's nothing wrong with it. Okay. So basically what we've established is, of course the language of Kehila is used to introduce Shabbos. Vayakel Moshe is called Das B'nei Israel. And fire is the paradigmatic act of human creativity, going back to the first individual human being. So what Moshe was saying is, you know, Shabbos is a day for us to meld back into the Kehila, not to distinguish ourselves in an individual way, and to use Shabbos as a time of reflecting on basically, I think, two ideas. God created the world, he's the ultimate creator, one. And two, that whatever creative abilities we have should be used to further and to foster the very purposes for which God created the world. In other words, you know, not just to serve ourselves, but to hopefully bring them to bear, you know, in service of God. The ultimate expression thereof is the construction of the Mishkan. So in conclusion, what I would suggest is that the Shabbos Mishkan dialectic between the idea of both distinguishing ourselves as individuals 6 days a week in service of God, but on the seventh day melding back into the community, is one that Moshe was really trying to lay out. And he says, you know, that we all exist at two planes. We serve God in our own personal way, which is a very, very, very important message. And 6 days a week, that's what we're trying to do, is that each person has his or her own talents and tries to bring them to bear for spiritual ends. But on the seventh day, the day of the Kehila, Beini uvein b'nei Yisrael osil olam, it's not a day for personal os, it's not a day for tefillin, and it's certainly not a day for personal korbanos, right? All of that, it's not a day for personal malacha, creative activity, it's not a day to leave the community, it's chum Shabbos. It's much worse if a person desecrates Shabbos communally than if they do so privately, right? It's considered rendering one a mumar l'chol ha-Torah kula, sort of compromising one's standing. Was that, you know, in this old conflict between, you know, the individual and the state, so Judaism has not chosen one over the other. But what Shabbos represents is the need for, you know, a communal identity. What construction of the Mishkan and all other spiritual activities reflect is the idea of, you know, the creative powers of the individual. So, you know, Western society, historically speaking, has put a greater emphasis on individual autonomy. Eastern societies, whether it's Far Eastern societies, have put a much greater emphasis on collective identity. If you're familiar a little bit with Chinese thought, Confucius and Mencius, who's a disciple of his, put a very great emphasis on filial piety, on belonging to the group, etc. In later years, right, Eastern totalitarian systems certainly suppressed individual identity in favor of the state. But as usual, halacha is a very balanced and sophisticated system where the very carefully crafted dynamic between the individual expression of service of God captured in the Mishkan and the collective need melding into the collective, which is expressed by Shabbos. So this exists in a kind of a harmony for us. So Sheshes Yamim, to conclude, we don't say Ta'ase Melacha, that, you know, we should do Melacha, but Sheshes Yamim Te'ase Melacha. We have an obligation to engage in creative labor. So just like there's an obligation for us to rest on the seventh day, we are obligated to marshal all of our personal individual talents in service of God the rest of the time. So Judaism has sort of refused to choose, I would say, between supremacy, the superiority of the individual over the collective, or vice versa, but we've opted for a model of synthesis which is characteristically sophisticated, and which balances, I think, in the optimal way, the creative capacity of the individual and the individual's relationship with God, which is something that everybody is meant to strive for, with the idea of having a collective or a communal identity, which is expressed at other times, but especially in the context of Shabbos.
You know, one of the things about choir that I've always thought of, you know, it has that creative